We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Get you aboard. Lot to come here on the show. Daily Mock and a big Eagles potential trade draft rumor coming up in a little bit, so we'll touch on that. Of course, the Phillies, who are red hot right now, 6 in a row, the best starting rotation in the National League. They head to Cincinnati tonight. Trey Turner.
Cincinnati.
Trey Turner looking really, really good right now. 348, the batting average. Hugh's guy, Rojas. And how about the offense around here? Ever since Hugh said it, they have become a juggernaut. We'll have to talk about the fact that it was against the Rockies and the White Sox. Forget all that.
Yeah, Phillies we ain't got to talk about
that. That details. But no, Phillies look really good right now, keeping pace with the Atlanta Braves for winning a lot down in Atlanta. All right, so we know the Joel situation. Retweaked the knee, didn't look right in the second half. Sounds like he's going to play tonight. Now, we do have Tyrese Maxey, who did not participate in shoot-around this morning because of an illness. He's now questionable for tonight. I'm going to be shocked if Tyrese doesn't play. Now, will he be impacted if he's really ill? He could be. Hopefully, he's himself, because they need a big, big version of Tyrese tonight to win this game and even this series up. I do believe this is a must-win. I know people will say, well, they'll come home. Someone said to me yesterday, well, it's the series that starts, you lose on your home court. They got to win tonight. They have to win tonight.
Yeah, you had an opportunity the other night, and you want to snatch some of the momentum from the Knicks fans. You don't want them to feel – they already feel like this thing is already over.
Yeah, it's not over.
They acted a whole donkey the other night. You know, when people talk about, like, Phillies fans or just Philadelphia fans in general, Knicks fans acted a whole donkey the other night. The way they were chanting on TV, if I had a pair of pearls on, I would have clutched them. It was just so much. All the cussing and stuff they were doing over the air.
Well, think about all the young Knicks fans, right? They haven't
haven't seen nothing like this in forever.
Well, ever. I mean, if you feel like in your 20s as a Knicks fan, you haven't seen anything. That team has been a disaster for decades. So, yeah, they acted like they want something. They didn't yet. The Sixers need to win tonight to make sure we got ourselves a really true competitive series. I think it's a must-win. What do you think? Must-win or can't lose tonight? How would you frame it?
I guess must-win.
I think it's
about
a must-win.
Same thing. Yeah, about the
well,
same thing.
But they have different feels. I think there's a different feel, must-win and can't lose. Kyle, where are you on this? Must-win or can't lose tonight?
Oh, it's a must-win. I mean, there's no way that the Sixers I guess what I'm about to say means it's more of a can't lose. You can't go back 0-2. To Philly.
Yeah, that
I think they'll be screwed.
Tough.
So actually, I'll probably describe it more as a can't lose.
See, I think it's a must. See, that's where we differ. I think it's a must win.
This is ridiculous.
Elliot put up a stat earlier today. What was it like 7% of teams that dropped the first two come back to win NBA best of sevens? It's a small number. I call it a must win. All right, and we know we're dealing with the Joel knee stuff and it's whatever this is, scar tissue, re-injury. I don't know what's going on. There's also another Joel Embiid physical ailment that we have to monitor. So he was poked in the eye. He was hit in the face relatively early in that game on Saturday. Obviously, he kept playing, and it didn't seem like it bothered him that much. At first, he was, like, squinting, and you could see him, like, touching his face. I'm sure he probably still has, like, PTSD from the orbital fracture he had, so he probably worried, right, like, did I break something? I don't think it's anything like that, but apparently he was wearing sunglasses around the locker room post-game
blue
yesterday.
Blockers,
yeah, yeah. Let's hear from Nick Nurse on the eye. Is it an issue for Joel?
We all talk about the knee, but he also took a pretty good shot in the eye. He kept in the game, stayed in the game, excuse me, but he kept, like, touching his eye. Last night we go in the locker room, he has sunglasses on. Same thing today, leaving here. I mean, how is his eye? Did he fracture it or anything again? Because that's the same. No. He's fine?
Yep, it's okay.
Yep. He didn't let him get it out. Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, a lot of okays from Nick Nurse. What do you ever get poked in the eye and have to wear sunglasses?
No, I got poked in the eye a couple times my rookie year, and that's when I started wearing a visor, so I wouldn't get poked.
Well, that's how the visor came about.
Yeah, because I used to get, you know, being a little guy, being one of the smaller defensive ends, you know, I used to get poked and, like, get grabbed in the face.
It is funny when you sit here and say you were a little guy.
Yeah, compared to what?
Me.
Yeah.
It's just funny. Yeah. No, but yeah, obviously you're more of an undersized end. All right, so you had it. Listen, I'm not going to get overly concerned about this. It is, I think, noteworthy, though. He was wearing the sunglasses again yesterday.
Yeah, I guess the sun, I mean, maybe bothered his eyes.
But I imagine these things are indoors. I'm just
you're asking me questions. I'm just trying to answer.
No, I know. I'm just trying to gauge why the guy's wearing sunglasses inside.
And I'm trying to figure it out too. Maybe the glare from the lights. They were hurting his eyes. Maybe the light.
I need him to show up tonight in sunglasses. You ever see that the Michael Jordan video? He's talking about his gambling issues. He's wearing the sunglasses. I need Joel walking into the arena tonight.
Looking about that action. Looking like he about that business. You know, it's like when I think about guys, when they say, especially basketball players, when they say, you know, they're sick in the morning, you know, I always think it is bubble guts. They got bubble guts.
Well, that's Joel's had that before.
Yeah, they got bubble guts. So they just got to make sure.
So you think Maxie just has bubble guts?
Yeah. I think he probably got bubble guts. Okay. Just make sure you don't eat nothing before the game. That could potentially put you in a bad spot out there on the court. You'd be fine.
Well, I hope.
Excuse me.
just drink a lot of water. You know what I mean? Hydrate. And just go out there and play. Probably wouldn't eat too much, though, because that'd be bad.
I think we could add Dr. Douglas to Hughes' I'm just saying, list of things here.
I didn't see cats like just to let the people in the behind the curtain a little bit. That tent ain't always over there just for people to check and see if they're injured.
Oh, you mean the football tent?
Yeah, the football tent.
You think like some stuff has to happen? It has to happen there.
Like sometimes. Whew. I do believe. Like sometimes.
I think it was Lamar Jackson, like 3 or 4 years ago, like sprinted to the locker room in the middle of the game.
I never understood why guys on a Sunday, like I would eat the most on like the night before the game. Like so, but I would eat early enough so that whatever had to happen,
it
happened in the morning. And the day of the game, all I'm doing is drinking Gatorade. Because I've seen guys like that have had issues during the course of the game. Nah, I ain't trying to be one of those guys.
I think that's a good
well,
way
is you Douglas
no,
okay?
It
yeah,
is,
I
man.
Guess.
It's like I've seen guys that have had accidents, and it's not good. It's not good at all.
215-592-9490. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Sixers, of course, the Phillies, red hot with the pitching. Rojas, Trey Turner. Let's get to Joe in the Northeast. Hey, Joe. Joe, you with us, buddy?
Yeah.
Gotcha, Joe. Yes.
Joe. Yeah, you got a lot of background noise.
All right, Joe, we'll put you on hold. We'll get you back up. Let's talk to Q in Philly. What's up, Q?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, Q? Man? What are you feeling?
Listen, I just think don't panic with the Sixers right now. It's just one game. We only lost by 7. Just don't panic. I know it's a lot of rhetoric with Joel Embiid because he's injury prone, but I think the only team that we all should be worried about is the Celtics. I'm not worried about the Knicks, the Pacers, or the Bucks if we play them second round. I'm not worried about them at all. And the guy who was talking about the Skechers, that guy.
Yeah, his shoes.
He was right on about it. And Hugh Douglas too, man. Just believe. Gotta believe, that's it. The other guy who was talking about he was soft and all that, he just won an MVP not so long ago. And I think he's the best center in the league. So.
Well, he's not as good as Jokic, but he's a great player. I don't think it's fair, Q. I'm with you. We can't call him soft. He's physically not right, and he's out there, and he came back.
Yeah, he's still playing, yeah.
Yeah, he had surgery to come back to try to be part of this. I don't think he's a soft player physically. I just think he's always not right, unfortunately.
Exactly. Thanks, y'all. Thanks
you got it, man, Q. Good phone call. We appreciate it. Yeah, and like, there's two parts of this. One, is it unfortunate that he's always hurt? Yeah, it'd be part of you feel bad for the guy, right? Like it is. He said it in that cut we played. It's the story of his career. This has been the story of Joel Embiid's career. He's never physically right, especially this part of the postseason. But I don't know if he's got to will himself, or he's got to pace himself, or maybe you know less alley oops off the backboard. I need him to play better.
He has to get comfortable. He has to get comfortable with his body, man. I see everybody gonna go in on these Skechers now. I'm trying to see.
So we're blaming the sneakers, right?
I mean, the sneakers do matter now. I'm not saying that that's the case. But, you know,
I have to imagine the shoes, like he thinks they're fine. Otherwise, he wouldn't wear them.
When Zion Williams came into the NBA, didn't he blow out a pair?
Like he blew out a pair of Duke. He blew his foot out of the shoe at Duke.
Did he like break the court too? landing on it?
He's a big guy.
he was killing them shoes. He was killing them shoes that he was in.
There's the amazing amount of ailments and issues that we've had physically with this guy. It's unbelievable.
I'm not making any excuses.
No, I didn't say
excuse. I did go look at the shoes, though, because, as a former player, your gear matters. And I don't know, I'm not poo-pooing it or putting on Skechers, but
sounds like you are.
No, I'm just saying, how many other cats in the NBA wear Skechers?
You know what?
I'm just asking a question. I'm just $50 million is a lot of money, but
idea. If we're wearing Skechers and weren't sure of them, maybe less alley oops off the backboard. It's just an idea for tonight. I know I'm on a limb on this.
But if you're in a situation where you got to change the momentum of the game, man, you got to do what you got.
You got to score and play better in the fourth quarter. Stallworth in West Philly. What's up, Stallworth?
Yo, what's going on, fellas?
What's up?
Listen, from the top, I got to say, I want to thank you for everything you did for the city in the Eagles uniform. Whenever I talk to an Eagles player, I always want to say that, man. Appreciate you for what you did, man.
Appreciate you.
I got to agree with Joe about Joel. And the reason why I'm saying that is I think what Joe is saying is Joel doesn't have – I'm not calling him dumb, but what I'm saying is he doesn't have a very high basketball IQ. And I think, like, one of the plays that kind of shows that is we'll see him kind of dribble too long at the top of the elbow, and you'll see a guard come by and swipe the ball, take it, or a wing player. Sometimes I think he just doesn't think the game through. Like, he's super talented, and he just relies on his talent. And I think sometimes you can tell that he doesn't know what basketball play to make. And I think, like, that dunk is a primary example. He just didn't need to make that play at that time. Especially if he said earlier he's about 87% or 80% to 90% or 70% to 80%, whatever it was. He's not 100%. So that means you don't need to try to make a NBA dunk contest dunk right now.
Yeah, I mean, it was unnecessary in the moment.
I hear what you're saying, but I look at it more so he's trying to trust his body. He's trying to change momentum. And, I mean, I hear you, but you're not thinking about that. You're trying to get your team going at that point.
Get it? But that's what I mean. Like, he doesn't think enough for me sometimes in terms of knowing what play to make at the right time. And the other thing I think the problem I have with Embiid is obviously he's super talented, but you could that look of fear that he had when he was laying on the ground. Kobe didn't look like that when I think his Achilles snapped. He just looked angry.
Yeah, he walked
like
off
I'm
the
mad
court.
At my body, but he didn't look like he was freaking out. And I think Joel's mentality is just different. I'm not calling him soft, but I don't think any of us would describe him as, oh, yo, he's a dog. You know what I mean? That's just not who he is as a player. He's super talented, but he's not like, you don't look at him like he's a killer. Like he's a Jordan, he's a Kobe, he's a Iverson, he's a Steph Curry, he's going to destroy you. That's not his mentality. He's just super talented. But he's not that type of cat where you're like, yo, I'm fearful of him because he is out to murder this whole team.
Yeah, I saw that. I agree with that.
That's the cat he is.
Yeah, and the Kobe point, it's interesting one. Stallworth, we appreciate it. But I think Kobe shot free throws on the torn Achilles.
Yeah, when he tore his Achilles and walked off the court.
Yeah, he made the two free throws afterwards.
I hear what you're saying, but everybody's not built like that.
No, of course not.
Everybody's not built like that. And for Joel Embiid, I think that his history of him being injured – and I get what you said, because when he laid out there on the court, I saw a guy who was like, damn, we're going through this again. Like, he thought he was more injured than he really was.
The scar tissue probably.
Yeah, and that's a scary place to be.
But the part that confuses me is I get that, right? That's very logical. I mean, I'm just me. But I broke my ankle once and then tried to move, like, do anything after that, any kind of, like, crack in it or like, you know, just
like hold up.
Yeah, right. Did I break it again? Yeah. I get that. But then my question isn't why down the stretch did he look so, what's the word, tentative? He just didn't jump.
Timid.
I mean, like the last.
Tired.
Well, okay.
He could not be fully conditioned still.
Well, that, I think it's not
how
only
are we
that.
Going to go on a playoff run if he doesn't trust
he's
his body
keep playing.
And he's tired?
I don't think
playing.
It was that. I think it was more at that point, it probably felt a little loose because.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Scar tissue broke up. And he was just – he didn't know – he didn't want it to happen again more so than anything.
I find making predictions the rest of the series game to game very difficult. We'll do it later. We'll make our predictions for game two tonight. I mean, what Joel are they getting? I mean, I don't know. Game to game, I don't know. And even quarter to quarter, he was amazing in the first quarter, guys. That you know, I know you said you're lucky they didn't get blown out. I thought they were going to blow the Knicks out early in the game. Yeah, like, when he was playing that way, I was like, holy moly, they're going to walk in there and win this game by double digits, and they just shut the Knicks crowd up. That would have been awesome. And then, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours later, he's 0 for 5 in the fourth quarter. It's like, you don't know quarter to quarter, game to game, what we're getting here out of this guy. Scott in Newtown. What's up, Scott?
Scott.
Yo, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, Scott. What's up, buddy?
Not much, man. Joe, I just think you're wrong about the dunk thing, because I think, like, for us to win, Embiid's got to be, like, dominant. He's got to scare the other players. He's got to let guys know that he's going to come hard in the paint. But I just don't think he has it in him, man. I think he's nervous. I think the only way we get through these series is with him being at his best, and I just don't think he's going to. And I hate to be negative about the Sixers. And, like, all the fans that are calling in and saying, like, you got to believe, and if you're not all in, you're not a real fan, all of that, like, it's all nonsense. Maybe with every other team we have, but not with the Sixers. The Sixers are like, dude, the way the organization has ran the team and all, it's like all it leaves me to think is we're not going to get it. You know, it's like too much nonsense with the organization.
Well, and then it's hard, Scott, unfortunately, because of what they've done in the past, it's hard to trust them with the injury stuff. Like, is Embiid just tentative because he's coming off of surgery? Has he re-injured himself and he's trying to play through it? I have no idea what the truth is. I just hope he plays well.
Yeah, and you never know. And also, you don't know, like, even with Embiid, like, is the first thing he's thinking about is just winning the game, or is he thinking about preserving his body? Is he, like, he's not the most mental tough guy. Like, we all know that just from all the years of watching him, you know? So it's just like, man, it's just like another year where we came into this with Embiid limping in, and he's an awesome player, and I think, like, one of the best players in the world. But it's just, man, it's just like, it's hard to be all in, and it's hard to be like, oh, I'm giving it. You know, I'm even going to bet on the Sixers, and I'm going to watch them. I'm going to root for them. I'm going to be upset if they lose. But it's just, like, really hard to say, to have complete confidence in this team. You know, I just, it's just really hard.
It's so. The trust, Scott. Scott, we appreciate it, man. Good, great phone calls always. It's hard to trust them. I mean, Hugh, I think it'd be different if the Knicks were better. But I think we see they're good, right? But
yeah, they're not unbeatable.
No.
And I get what you're saying. But I feel like the version that we have right now, if played correctly, and he can't have those times where he's out there looking timid. But you have to find that safe space where you can function and still be the guy that we need you to be and not feel like you're going to get hurt. I don't know what that looks like. But I feel like if we get that version of him where he's comfortable and he trusts his body, yeah, we can get this, no doubt about it.
The other part of his game that is worth talking about when it comes to how trustworthy he is of his body is rebounding. And part of the reason the Knicks rebounded so many more times than the Sixers the night is Joel only had 8. To be that big and have 8 rebounds in 37 minutes.
You got to be down low there, big fella.
That struck me as he didn't want to jump and hurt himself or expend energy down there. I mean, the Knicks are Josh Hart is getting double-digit rebounds. I mean, I thought the second-to-last possession when he jumped up over Embiid to get the rebound was a microcosm. And they just had more effort the other night on the rebounding. Like, if you take away all those rebounds the Knicks had on offense, the Sixers still win the game. I mean, they still would have won, even with Joel not playing his best in the second half, even with Maxey taking a little bit to get going, even with Buddy Hield, you know, just being invisible, Tobias being invisible, they would have won. Jay Cott, they have to rebound better. Tyrone is in Middletown. What's up, Tyrone?
Tyrone.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good show.
Thanks, Tyrone. What's up, pal?
Oh, wow. Listening to you guys is good. The point you was making about Rojas and what you're making about the Sixers and rebounding is funny. I like to comment on both because they're right on time. And particularly with Rojas, one of the points I think I made a week ago just falls in line with what you said. When they had, I think they were coming off a loss, and Rojas in that particular game, though, he had 2 hits. He had a hit to right field. It was an outside pitch, and then he hit one to center field. It was a high fastball. And I made a comment that he was the only one that was seeing the ball and was hitting the ball where it was pitched. And that goes hand in hand with a lot of the prior and before the game. He's working with Trey Turner already, and he's giving him a lot of pointers and the batting coach. And I think if he comes around, if he can hit 250 when he's batting ahead of Schwarber, you're going to find that most of his home runs won't be the one-run dingers, there'll be 2 and 3-run homers. And it'll be like the 9-hole hitter will turn into the leadoff hitter. And with his base with Rojas' base skill and capabilities, it'll just make the team and himself just that much more of a better player.
Well, Tyrone, you're right about that. And here's the other thing. Because Schwarber sees so many pitches in normally in his at-bats, we're going to get a lot of stolen bases out of Rojas, too. I mean, he can really run. It's just about him getting on base, and lately he's getting on base a good amount.
Well, to his credit, I think that looking at him in center field and his speed on the base path, he has a combination of speed, and he may be the best defensive baseball center fielder in the major leagues right now.
Tyrone, I think he is. I know it's a small sample. We've only seen him for, like, you know, less than a full season. I think he's the best defensive center fielder in baseball. He's that good.
Yeah. Can I make a quick comment about the Sixers
also?
One of the things that I don't like about when Embiid brings up the ball and stays out, what it creates is that the Knicks, I think, had 23 offensive rebounds and the Sixers had about 9. And the total rebounding for the game, the Sixers were out-rebounded by about over 20 rebounds. And I think what that creates is that a lot of those rebounds turn into baskets. And with them being involved in a close game with Jalen Brunson having a tough shooting night. I think he was 9 for 26 or something like that.
Yeah, he struggled.
With Kyle Lowry, like, bodying him up. I give Kyle Lowry a lot of credit. He's, for a little guy, he's the toughest guy on the court right now. And I think if the Sixers can take a cue from him and follow his lead a little, and if Embiid can maybe let the guards bring the ball up. I know he's a talented player, but I think he's kind of taken some of the play. I don't want to really criticize him. But on the real, he's taking the ball out of the guard's hands and they're standing around watching him when he should be running, try to get under the basket. If he has enough energy to bring the ball up court, he should have enough energy to run up the court and get under the basket and try to get position for some of the rebound.
Well, and they need him for the rebounds. Tyrone, you mentioned the numbers. Tyrone, we appreciate the phone call. The rebounding was just ridiculous. They need to be way better tonight. I'm glad he brought up Lowry. Lowry is one of the best bright spots Saturday. He was awesome.
Hustle man.
There was a play. I'm looking at my notes from the game here. There was a play early in the third quarter where he stole the inbound, and then he went down, got the N1 and the basket, and they cut the lead. I think they were down 11, cut it to 8, and then he hit a 3 after that, and it went to 5. Like, I wrote down, like, did Kyle Lowry just swing this game to the Sixers? And he kind of did. Unfortunately, the fourth quarter went back the other way, but he's been really good for them. He's been – remember, we were doing the trade deadline show. Elliot was with us, and they ended up with him.
Mm-hmm.
None of us really thought much because of his age and the Heat basically got rid of him. He's provided a lot.
Yeah, he's been good for you in spurts, man. He really has. And I think that he provides that spark that we didn't really see last year. You know, when you talk about the game looked like the momentum shifting and things of that nature, he kind of brings it back into your favor.
He's a winning player. I love Kyle Lowry. He is absolutely a winning player. 215-592-9494. All right, right back to the Sixers calls. On the other side, can the Sixers win this series with this version of Embiid? I don't believe so. I think they need more. Hugh thinks they could do it. And how do you feel about the play he made? The alley-oop to himself dunk. Irresponsible. I just thought it was unnecessary. And taking a risk where he knows his body isn't right. Plus, Adam Schefter dropped some interesting info this morning about the Eagles' plans in the draft and Howie Roseman working the phones to do what? We'll hit that next. 215-592-9494. Get you aboard. It's the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Everyone knows by now the major news. The big new acquisition, Kyle Schwarber's newest teammate. Well, that's me. No, I'm not playing for the fights, but as you've heard, I've partnered with Kyle and Yards Brewing Company's Philly Standard Beer, the tailgate beer. This season, when Kyle goes yard, beers are on Kyle. And Kyle, of course, went yard yesterday. So here's what you do. At bars all over the area, you can enjoy a free Philly Standard today. And every day after Kyle goes yard, download the Yards Brewing Company app for details and participating bars. Yards Brewing Company, celebrating 30 years, made by Philadelphia.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.